We are still in the step one. A research team has to make a use of customer feedback, internal and external data, to come out with an accurate definition of the problem. So see, it says by the dipstick, certain groundwork the research team has to do. Research team means the marketing team has to do this so that you are able to define problem correctly. And put the accuracy of that problem to the research agency so that they benefit out of that a lot. The nature of the research problem could be launching a new product or a service. So that's what low awareness of the company's product or the service, a poor company image and reputation, distribution related problems. So where is the problem and what you want to research? That should come out of your problem definition very clearly. Formulating the research problem, how do you go about formulating the research problem and the point there? You must specify the objective. Why are you doing this research? Okay, the environment or the content of the problem. So what is that led you to believe that there is a problem? Okay, what is the context to reference that makes you accept that there is a problem somewhere? Nature of the problem. So what is it that you are encountering? What is the alternative course of action that is available to you? Have you taken that, or you think that there is no alternative other than really knowing the depth of the problem, cause of the problem, the consequences of the alternative course of action? So if you do not do research, if you do alternative take actions, what will happen or what may not happen? And what is the level of uncertainty? This problem that you are encountering, you are totally confused as to why that is happening, then the research is the right way. But if there are other ways, through secondary research, through other things you can do it, then probably attempt that first. It is just saying, this is how the research problem is put in the right perspective. Objective is what? It's a derivative of your problem. So once you have an objective, the problem, that value, perception, this thing, if I say, then you need to know that the objective is to know whether customers see value in our offering. So that way the objective will emerge. So it's a derivative of your problem. Nature of answer to hypothesis or need you are seeking, what you ultimately want. Hypothesis is what you will have if I go back here, you will have an hypothesis. Is our sales related to the price we change? Hypothesis will say that our sales gets affected due to price we change. Now the research guy has to do the research to see whether that hypothesis is correct or that hypothesis proved wrong. So that's what the hypothesis meaning, though it is not so elaborately expected out here. But just to help you understand, I have given you that perspective. And you will ultimately say, what is it that you want to know? What should research bring out for you? So that's very critical. That's the research objective. Okay. Specifying the research objective. So what are the salient aspects when you put down your research objectives? It should guide the forward path that you are looking at. The research objective when put in should really give an idea as to what is it that forward path that you are deriving out of it. A general to highly specific. It can be a generic statement to a very specific. Limited concerning the few objectives. You cannot have a multi-coverage objectives. You have to be very specific. It helps you address the objective. The research will then help you to address the objective or one or two objectives that you are trying to address. Determine the methodology, that is the research design that comes out, will be very sound. And keep track of the progress. It allows you to keep track of your progress post-research also. That this was a problem, this was an objective, we did this research, we did this, based on that, we took this action. So, is it helping or not? So, that is it's a wide ramification. We enter step two. Determine the research design. So, what is the design? Okay. It's a blueprint, complete blueprint of the market research, and it gives you narrative of the problem that was given by you to the agency, the hypothesis, either you have derived the hypothesis or research agency will help you with the hypothesis. It highlights what will be researched. So based on your problem, they will tell you, we will research this. So you have to confirm to them, and it will bring out what, when you research this, what will it give you an idea about? This is very critical stage. Then in that your involvement is needed. Gives a methodology of data collection. How are you going to collect data? Through email survey, through face-to-face contact, through telephonic conversation, what? Or electronically through email, how? Provides analysis approach. So what is a statistical tool? How are you going to analyze, etc.? Gives you that idea. Is there any layering? Is there any associative analysis. So income versus you want to see the usage rate, income versus the perception you want to see. So like kind of there are those conjoint, or as you say, the associative analysis or the layer. Layer, when I say, whether analysis will take place at a only national level or national and then divided zone wise, divided region wise, how is going to get dissected. So that's about the analysis, very critical this thing. Marketing research can be carried out on one of the three methods. And you have an exploratory research method, descriptive and causal research. Exploratory research is a first primary stage where you explore to determine is there a worth in it. So you do an exploratory research to determine whether this offers any solution or opportunity to you, etc. And then based on that, you will take a prima facie decision. So when you do that without extensive coverage of a data collection, etc., that's an exploratory research. We will probably get that idea better. Descriptive, you will get into a detailed research. Okay. And causal research, you are trying to determine cause relationship to the problem that you are facing. So these are the kind of a method. Exploratory research, yes, okay, as I told you, there will be a coverage. The purpose is to get a better understanding of the research problem. You have defined a problem, and when you do a exploratory research, either you can do it in-house or with the help of the agency, you get a better understanding of the problem that you are facing. You will be able to refine your problem better. Intention is to help researchers formulate problem in a more finer way. Okay, finer way. And derive the testable hypothesis. So that's what they will come out and they will advise you that let this be the hypothesis, because this is researchable. So they play that role. Format literature searches, you do the informal searches, you do certain informal interviews with stakeholders and all, maybe dipstick, etc. You see, they can be quantitative or qualitative. So that's another way. And a quantitative means it will be hard facts driven. Means your questions are in a way that it has to be within given parameter, given alternative, yes, no, I fully agree, I partly agree, neither agree nor disagree, fully disagree, I completely whatever. So it has to be within that. It will not be an open answer kind of thing. So that gives a quantification. Qualitative is like an open answer. Any respondent will be allowed to just speak his mind. There won't be any binding for him to select from given options. So that's a qualitative. It unwinds the mind, while the quantitative unwinds the intention and behavioral aspects. Descriptive research. Descriptive research is concerned with describing the characteristics and or marketing mix characteristics, etc. You will get into detailing more. You want to find out more about product characteristics of the product, buying behavior, etc. This type of study can involve the description of the extent of association between two variables, and it is more like a quantitative research. So descriptive research is, as the second point says, it will create an association with the options that is there in front of the customer, and then that selection will give you an insight as to what customer thinks and believes about various parameters. Okay, and therefore it is more a quantitative in nature. Because answers to the questions are within the given options kind of thing. Very few open-ended questions will be there. For example, the researcher may observe that there is an association between geographical location of consumers and their tendency to consume vegetables. The researcher is thus able to describe the relation rather than explain it. So, he is able to find that there is a geographically, if you see that this part of the country consumes a lot of vegetables, while this part of the country consumes a lot of non-vegetarian stuff, etc. Researchers must already know a great deal about the research problem. So he should have a complete familiarity and should have the deeper understanding as to this problem is a result of what. Okay, he can do that. If it is not, he can do the exploratory study himself and be in a position to clearly define what he or she wants to measure and how he or she is going to do it. So that brings him to the design part. So that is what we are learning. Okay. Causal research. Generally, causal research is deals with the why. You know, why this is happening, why sale is falling, why consumers have changed to online sale, etc. So why? Answers why a change is brought in one variable due to change in the other variable. It gives you an idea as to, has the change in one variable led to change in the other variable or not? You know, why? It brings that out. So it's a variable specific. This research is about analyzing the cause, the reason, and their corresponding effects that is observed on the behavior of the consumer. Okay, behavior of the consumer. So that's what observed, and to predict the action based on this event. And so it's a cause and effect relationship that it tries to study. That's the causal research. So what is that marketing research design? What does it cover? Okay, so let's have that proper understanding. First of all, design will emerge when you do a secondary information. So it has to pinpoint various findings on the secondary information. So that analysis has to be there. Whether qualitative research or quantitative research. So what is that is going to be? So that's what the methodology selection that will be defined. Question, measurement and scale. So what is a question that is going to be, the kind of question and the scale that will be used to get the answer? Design of the questionnaire. So whether it is a checklist based, whether it is a closed-ended question, whether it will be open-ended questions, etc. And sample. Who is a sample? So your unit sample, how the sample will be collected, etc. The size of the sample that is needed, you know, to get a closer to reality kind of a finding. So that you can take a decision. You can take a proper decision. So that's what research design is, to pull it out for you. Okay. The sources of data, we continue to have the understanding about the research design. It will define what are the sources of the data. So will the secondary source, will the primary source still be done, or secondary source you will wait for secondary analysis to suggest the need for primary, as the case may be. Okay. Research approach, what is an approach that you will take? That is, whether you will do the observation research, whether you will do a focus group. Means observation research will be, consumers will be observed in a natural surrounding or a created surrounding. Focus group is like you call similar category characteristics people together, put the problem, put a challenge before them, make them talk among themselves. Moderator will guide the discussion. Psychologist, when they see that whole thing or listen to whole thing, they are able to pull out certain inherent psychological aspects in the minds of group which participated. Survey experiment, which is a pure survey, face to face, telephonic, email, etc. So that's a survey. Instrument that you will use. So there are certain things which require an instrument also. Observation research also requires instruments. Focus group requires a checklist, as you say. The survey requires a questionnaire. Questionnaire, if it is there, there are cards, you know, which you will have to show it to the customer, so that the respondent, so that he knows what, from what he has to answer what. Observation, as you said, can have a mechanical, some TV recordings, even FGD can have a TV recordings, etc. So that's a instrument that you will require. So that's also part of the research design. Sampling plan, complete sampling plan will be given to you as to what, who is your right unit, whom you can you meet, whom you cannot meet, the size, the number that you need. The procedure, there is a procedure to that selection of a sample. Random sample means anybody who comes in front of you, you first assess whether is the right sample and then take stratified random sampling. And there are many procedures, you know. Convenience sampling is also there. Wherever you get this sample, you go and do that. So that's a convenience. So there are methods to collecting the sample. So that also procedures. Contact methods, will it be personal, will it be impersonal, etc. Will you contact them through telephone? Will you corner them during mall or the theaters, etc., when they come out? So that's a contact method. How will you establish a contact? Okay. Elements of marketing research design. So we are just understanding that. Further, questionnaire designing process. How will you go about designing the questionnaire? So questionnaire designing is also an art, and wherein issues like a putting up of a question, then testing it, etc. So those aspects come into it. Measuring and scaling. So how each things will be measured. that measuring is a outcome of what analysis will you carry out, and that outcome will convey you what. That outcome will convey you what. That needs to be, that what is that objective is looking after. That is a so very important aspect is that statistical testing, which is what frequency or what is the confidence level that you need. So therefore the data has to be tested. So what is the statistical testing that will be done? There are the chi-square and those kind of statistical tools are there. And overall, how the survey planning, timelines, etc. So that will come out. So research design is a very important document. It comes to you more as a proposal along with the cost, and then you have to decide. You will work with the agency. Sampling though was covered there. Additionally, the third step is there, which is sampling and data collection. Sampling unit size, etc. is covered in the design. The sampling frame, that is the unit, is a pool of eligible individuals from which the sample can be withdrawn. You will really determine who is the right respondent. And it has a three aspects that one need to know: unit, sample size, and procedures. Research design covers this, but this is separately pulled out so that you are able to understand that. And this is how even any book will also have. It's a separate subject, but the part of it, I mean, it's a part of the research design. So that way you have to look at it. Sample unit, when I say, who's to be surveyed? So you will define it. He or she is age 20 and above, studying in college, is living in urban cities or urban tier 1, tier 2, whatever, you will describe that. Working, non-working, married, non-married, all those things will come out. That will determine who is a sample. And size is like how many are you going to make? It could be environment specific. Okay. If the population is large, maybe you cannot cover everybody. Then there is a, it's like you decide either the convenient sampling or a stratified sampling or a random sampling, etc. So that's also, that number is also an outcome of accuracy that you desire. Based on the finding of this research, are you going to take a decision to invest? Then you will expect a higher accuracy. And then the higher accuracy is expected, then you need a more number. So this statistical accuracy is generally determined, they say, at a 95% accuracy, 90, 80% accuracy. So you see the leverage that the researcher is willing to take on his side. Okay, if he says, if suppose for an 80% accuracy, you have to only collect 1,000 samples. But if suppose he demands 95%, it is not just 15%. It is not 1,000 plus 15%. The sample number may jump to 3,000 numbers, for you to get that better accuracy. So that's what the accuracy is. So this is how the number gets decided. Procedure, how do you go about choosing your sample, the unit that you have identified? Now there are two things, probability sampling approach and a non-probability sampling approach. Probability means it is within your confidence limit. It is a right statistically valid approach where sample random, simple random sampling will be done. Unit is defined, you are allowed to randomly pick and choose. Okay, only thing you have to ensure is he meets the criteria as a sample. Stratified random sampling, you will probably create a groups and you will pick up person from that. So that's how the stratified random sampling is done. Married so many, unmarried so many, etc. Urban so many, rural so many. So then you have to get into those kind of a perspective in your design so that you get those kind of number of people likewise. Cluster is an area sampling. You may say that from South Mumbai so many, from Juhu so many, from Bandra Pali Hill so many. Suppose if you are doing a research among high income in net worth individuals. So that can be also done. Non-probability sampling is like a convenience sampling. Say like if I'm doing a cement industry specific survey, I know cement industries are located in Gujarat, Rajasthan, etc. Then I also know how many cement manufacturers are there. Then I will decide out of 100, I will just meet 10 people. So that's a convenience sampling. Even in the large, when the research accuracy expected is not very high, sometimes convenience sampling or geographical sampling is done. Judgment, you say that so many are enough, or a quota. You will have a quota, 10 from say like I will do overall 30 cement company, but 10 from West in India, 10 from North India, 10 from South India. So likewise you will do it. And there is no probability kind of thing. There is no statistical perspective to that. It is a non-probability sample, non-statistical approach to sampling. So that's about sampling and complete perspective about sampling of the data and the data collection. Data collection we will now understand. As I told you, we will learn about data collection. So data collection is all about after the sampling and all is done and when the research is launched, how are you going to collect the data? What is the method that is going to be employed? All that is getting covered. We have earlier also discussed whether through mail, through telephone, through what this thing, etc. So that's the way the data is going to get collected. Data collection typically begins with the field testing. So however, essentially before you launch a full-fledged data collection, there will be a test round. So you will test the questionnaire, you will collect the data, you will analyze the data, you will see if there is any factual errors. A kind of objective that you wanted to fulfill is not coming out if you ask a question like this, etc. So those kind of corrections are done post test data collection happens. Even sampling definition can be changed, sampling size can be redetermined. So that's a testing stage, after which the data collection plan, entire research plan is revisited and finalized. For you to just know, I have mentioned the data collection essentially takes anywhere around 30 to 50% of the total project time. Cost wise also, it accounts for a higher cost of the total budget. Then comes the analysis of the data. So whatever the data that is collected, how will it be analyzed? Now this is also a science, and therefore even while forming the question, you need to know whether asking yes or no is the right way, or asking them, I may buy it, I will buy it, I will never buy it. So what is the right way to ask this question so that analysis can be correctly taken up and the inference coming out of that analysis is a meaningful connect with the objective. So that's the whole aspect of analysis. Decide how each and every questionnaire will be analyzed. So of course it starts with univariate, bivariate, there are those, you know, association, there are those layering, as I told you, national or national plus zone, national zone, you want region wise, etc. So that's a univariate, whether any single variable, so only each questionnaire is analyzed questions are bivariate, you want to connect income with the choice of a brand, you want to connect income with the buying mechanism, buying method or a buying channel, etc. So that's kind of a thing, bivariate association with, or any parametric, two associations that you want to measure. So those kind of things that you will use for hypothesis testing. Will this technique give a desired answer? So that's what I earlier told you. When you do the test marketing and when the data comes in, this part you certainly do that, where you try to see that if analysis comes this way, will it answer the objective that for which we have done the survey? Have we scaled questionnaire correctly? Okay, so that it matches with the statistical analysis requirements. So that's also another important. There are statisticians and qualified people. They do look after those aspects. There is a method. So SPSS, there are softwares also available. There are gaming theory, as you know, probably. So there are various ways in which the statistical this thing is done, but not part of your current scope. Write the research report. The sixth step or the fifth step is writing of the research report and the finding. Now there is no there is no like a structured this thing that can be told to you. It's essentially your ability to communicate the finding in a way that recipient understands what is an outcome of the research report. Therefore the presentation is very critical. You have to develop the presentation in a way that first of all the critical information and knowledge received is shared with them in a way. Don't present what is not worthwhile. First critically present what is critical, what is that the client was looking at it. Then give them the additional perspective. Overall, the presentation should drive him towards the conclusion. So presentation, inferences, etc. that comes out, client himself should get into the state of conclusion which you are going to represent at the end. So conclusion, representation, recommendation should be derivative of your inferences and the way you put your report, structure your report. So that while client completes the reading or you complete your presentation, client is also more or less in the same state of mind which you are going to otherwise conclude or recommend to him. Okay. Preparing the research report, how do you go about? There are a few tips. Always focus on the problem and the objective with which you started the research. Present analysis rather than the data. Client is not keen on knowing so many people have said yes, so many people have said no, etc. They are keen on analysis. What does it drive home? What does it comes out of analysis? So inferences and those things, clients are more keen. When they ask you more about data of the analysis or the base of the data, then you can show the tables of the data, tables, etc. Focus on facilitating the marketing decision. It should lead you towards decisions. So not only answer the problem in the objective, but in a way that what next can be derived also. Keep it short, simple, to the point. Additional, this thing can be given as an additional report or an annexures, etc. The report should contain information that is essential. So must know should always have a high weightage rather than should know. Should know is something that is like an add-on information that you are providing to him. It may not really contribute towards the problem, objective or the decision making. But must know certainly contributes towards problem, objective and the decision making of the client. Okay. We get into the international marketing research process. That is what we were so far doing it. And the step 5 was all about the report and writing and the findings, etc. I have explained you salient aspects and all, and moving further, must know, should know and could know. You know, that's another set of information. There will be information that it would be nice to have, but it is not at all directly relating to the research report. Okay, but you could find something. Okay, so presenting the report, essentially follow the timeline, whatever that you have essentially decided to have as a timeline. See that entire research completes and research report is ready as per the timeline. Key findings, manage your time of at the time of presentation. So you should priorly know that how much time client is offering you. You prepared a research report finding for 1.5 hours and client on entry in the room and says, I have half an hour. So you may not be able to effectively present. It's the quality and not the quantity that is important. How smartly, how effectively you are able to put analysis in a way that he derives the conclusion himself. Okay. I have learned from my mentors, etc. You know, often when you say that you, when you are talking to somebody and you get to accept his point, you see, oh, I see. That should be the approach even to the research presentation. Observation, inferences, conclusions. So laid out in such a way that client also gets into the stage of observation, inferences and self-conclusion. Okay, there is no harm in being innovative. How you present is your skill set. You can have innovative ways to present, but that's a very open subject. Okay, basic content of the standard report, it just gives you the quick section wise summary. Not that this is the only framework, yes, but it gives you some idea. The title page, content tables are there, executive summary, which is very important. Often misunderstood. It's a page 2 or maximum 3 page article write-up which drives home why the research was done, the key observation inferences and a conclusion thereof. So that chief executive and that level of guy who has to read this 3 report, he can still derive the whole meaning of the report. So that's the research executive summary. What was the methodology used? What are the limitations of those methodologies? The findings. Now you laid out this section will have data analysis and the data table analysis and inferences kind of thing. Based on which, what do you conclude then recommend? And then last is various data tables, annexures, etc. Annexures could also have a questionnaire, the sampling that you have covered, achieved, etc. So those are the structure of the report. So with this, we completed this chapter, which was on researching the international market. Thank you.